Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
Stay tuned for Ecologic here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
And clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Geller.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for September 23rd, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Politicians constantly say that the fossil fuel and nuclear industries are good for jobs. The truth is that renewable energy supplies more jobs per dollar or per watt than poison power does.
Hey, there's some really good news. And from the United States Senate, on Wednesday, for the first time in 30 years, the Senate approved an international climate treaty, 69-27. This is a vote to join 137 other nations in the 2016 Kigali Agreement to sharply reduce the production and use of hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. They're the greenhouse gases that are 1,000 times more potent than carbon dioxide. All Democrats and 21 Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, voted to approve the treaty. Find more information on our website, www.ecoradio.org.
And more good news. Listeners may remember that this spring we had Brenna Two Bears with us to discuss the possibility of a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. This morning, at the United Nations, the president of the Pacific Island Nation, Vanuatu, called for just such a treaty. 2 years ago, the treaty was a theoretical academic idea. Last year, it was first mentioned at the UN, and now we go into COP27 in Egypt with new momentum as the World Health Organization, along with 200 other health groups, have also called for such a treaty. Leading the way, Vanuatu has launched efforts to get an advisory opinion from the International Court of Justice on the human rights impacts of climate change. Awesome. Yeah.
On the flip side, unfortunately, In preparation for November's COP27 climate conference, the Norwegian government sent to the European Union a draft agreement that includes placing a priority on further development of the oil and gas industry and use of carbon capture and storage, including oil and gas expansion in vulnerable Arctic marine ecosystems. The Norwegian oil and gas industry is claiming that they need public money to capture and store the dangerous CO2 as they plan to produce more oil and gas from these increasingly vulnerable areas.
Well, you know, last night, the Indian Point Closure Task Force and the Decommissioning Oversight Board had a joint meeting. Local activists had fought for the creation of a community decommissioning oversight board, seeing it as a model for future reactor closings throughout the country. The actual board is different from their vision, but it does include members of state agencies that have responsibility for energy issues. And they've been open to hearing from outside experts about some of the issues that need to be considered during the decommissioning process. From all reports, last night's meeting was better run than previously, and local resident Tina Valtz-Bongarba's presentation on emergency planning concerns raised important questions for the board to consider. The board was respectful and engaged with the presenters.
Good.
The decommissioning company, Holtec, has only limited experience. It's notorious for pushing a quick and dirty process and hiring inexperienced non-union workers. Its reputation for safety is anything but reassuring. In fact, one of the more notorious incidents was at San Onofre in California, where a whistleblower named David Fitch, even as he expressed his fear of being fired in retribution, reported an incident in which a thin-walled canister slipped and almost fell 18 feet into the cask into which it was being loaded. Disturbingly, it's been reported that crew assignments were based not on individuals' experience with a particular piece of heavy equipment, but on the levels of radiation exposure they had, which is not exactly a qualification for operating construction machinery handling the most deadly materials on the planet. Plus, the company's structure is as a number of limited liability corporations. And that means that if there's any sort of accident, one LLC will disappear and the rest of Holtec will go tranquilly on as residents struggle to survive the chaos. Now, at Indian Point in particular, a complicating factor is that two gas pipelines run under the site. So residents want those to be shut down and purged of gas during the decommissioning because they're concerned that the use of heavy equipment on the site could damage the old pipelines. A gas accident on the site would really be a double disaster. And worse, the instructions for what happens after an accident are different. Shelter in place for a radioactive disaster, evacuate from a gas disaster. What happens if they happen simultaneously? And as irradiated fuel rods are removed from fuel pools, Holtec is looking to dump the cooling water into the Hudson River. Some isotopes can be filtered out, but not all. So wherever the water winds up, when it evaporates, it becomes radioactive rain. Currently, residents of Cape Cod are fighting Holtec's plan to dump similar water into Cape Cod Bay. New York residents are watching the situation closely as they prepare their own strategy to ensure that radioactive materials remain contained at the site.
And they want to say, oh, jobs. But solar energy provides more jobs per watt that is supplied and per money that is spent. Most of nuclear power and fossil fuel plants are automated. You cannot install solar panels with automation. You can't install them from overseas. You need to hire a local guy. So of course they're better for jobs. It's another no-brainer that seems to kindle people's no-brains. And they're pretty much always union work. The solar installers always say that it has to be done right the first time. When you connect the solar panels to the electrical system of a house or an office, it better be done right the first time, because if it's not, it sets the entire industry back. So they want to hire union labor because the union electricians know what they're doing. That's, again, it's all quite logical. for the last 5 years, at least, the number one growing job in the United States has been solar installer. And that amount only went up during COVID. And my feeling is because in the beginning of COVID, a lot of utility workers didn't go to work. And more blackouts than usual started happening. And so people who may have been thinking, well, maybe we'll get some solar panels, are thinking, you know what? We should get them now. And the number of solar installations nationwide went up and continued to go up. We mentioned on our show a few weeks ago that a survey taken showed that 3/4 of homeowners either have solar panels or are in the process of getting them or plan to get them in the next 5 years. 3/4. When you have that much renewable energy being supplied, and an interesting sidebar to people who get solar panels is they realize that the more energy they save by being more efficient, energy star appliances, insulation, low flow shower heads, better light bulbs, all those ways lower your energy use. So therefore, they get more money put into the grid, which they get paid for. So there's always an efficiency aspect to solar panels. So that helps in climate change in two different ways. Using less power in the first place and making it in a cleaner way. When you don't need fossil fuels, you don't need to invade somebody else's country for their fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. I'm sure BAI listeners have heard plenty of people chanting no blood for oil during the peace march. You don't need to shed blood for oil if you don't need the oil in the first place. It's that simple. A lot of wars, they wouldn't have the excuse for them. They might try to find another excuse, but their main thing, we need the oil. Oh, we need the oil. We're addicted to it. When that addiction is gone, those 3/4 of American homeowners, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And universities, certainly the SUNY campuses in New York State, are talking about supplying their electricity with solar because they're evacuation centers for most of the communities they're in. They need the electricity when the grid goes down, so they supply it themselves. I've told the Bayonne High School story on this show several times.
Love that story. We want to hear that one again.
That's all the prompting I need to tell that story again. When my friend Tom installed the panels on Bayonne High School in New Jersey, and when Hurricane Irene hit, the grid went down. But since the panels were tied to the grid, the school didn't have power. And they went back to Tom and said, hey, we're an evacuation center. We need power. Can you do something about it? So he did. He put in a battery backup with a sensor that would sense if the electricity was coming into the building. When it's not, then you power the building with the solar panels on the roof. Mm-hmm. Simple enough technology, right? When Hurricane Sandy hit, every emergency worker went to Bayonne High School to charge their equipment. And local people charged their cell phones, say in communication. But there is a difference between value and price, right? We know how much it costs for those solar panels. We don't know how many lives were saved because all those emergency workers could charge their equipment.
Yeah.
And that philosophy is being used at SUNY campuses and places in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. Solar energy is free.
The other innovation that we're seeing more of, I think, is community solar. And that's so important for people who don't have a roof that would support, you know, either we've got trees or we're renting and it's not our roof. So the more of that we see, the more people can use solar energy and get an advantage from it. And of course, those community solar panels are installed by local folks.
I think it's very important for us to know that the solar installers are the new heroes. The solar installers are, just listen to Ken's story, Solar installers are the heroes just as much as any other career that that does service for the public. It's great. Yeah. And that's such an emerging career choice that we really encourage our listeners or relatives of our listeners that our listeners are talking to go look at that as a career. There are so many more green jobs available now that are well paying and very, very much needed.
And while you're looking at solar jobs, there's two different kinds of solar, right? There's solar voltaic, which is electricity, which is what most people talk about. But there's also solar thermal, which is heat and hot water from the sun. And solar thermal panels are actually cheaper to install and easier to install. You need a licensed plumber to do it. And community colleges all over this area have courses. The courses are not given all the time, but they have courses on how a licensed plumber can become a solar thermal installer. I talked to one solar thermal worker from upstate who keeps getting called from New York City that they want solar thermal on their building. And he goes, I have all the work I can handle up here. Please, New York City, train your own solar thermal installers. There's clearly a bigger demand than there is a supply of the installers. I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was one in New York City. There's more than one now.
But yeah.
It's a growing place to fill.
There's also white and green roofs that are a source for workers to come in and affect the energy levels, right?
Well, and green roofs, there are people who say you have to choose between solar panels and green roofs. That's not true. The solar panel can be lifted up so that you still have things growing on your roof and absorbing water and being beautiful and attracting butterflies and birds and honeybees. But you can also have the solar panels at the same time. And there are companies, I think All Power is one of them, that do both.
You need a very strong roof for that.
You do need a strong roof. Yeah. And I know that somebody used to be on BAI. He needed a roof repair. So his wife said, well, why don't we get solar panels at the same time we get a roof repaired? And he said it was like getting his roof repaired for free. Because the same person did both jobs. He lives on Long Island, which is one of the best places for solar in the entire United States, if not the best. Yeah. So it is amazing what is being done. The future is definitely, like Pete Seeger said, the future is solar. He did a whole song about it.
Solartopia.
Solartopia. And there's a beautiful version with Dar Williams and the Rivertown Singers on YouTube. Go find Solartopia by Pete Seeger. It's all optimistic, that song. It says what we have.
I'm thinking also of wind power, and New Jersey is looking at a bunch of offshore wind and a construction plant over in Gibbstown, near where they want to also put a long natural gas plant. But the wind jobs are the ones we want to encourage. We need more of those.
Okay. So speaking of Pete Seeger, we want to thank Mana Jo Green, the Environmental Director of Clearwater, for the following update. The Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Bond Act of 2022 will be on the ballot this November.
Wow.
This year, voters will have the opportunity to vote on Environmental Bond Act for the first time in 25 years. The 2022 Bond Act will allow New York State to invest in projects to protect clean drinking water, upgrade critical infrastructure, that's roads, sewer systems, drinking water pipes, support local jobs, improve public health, conserve public wildlife habitat, and increase access to public waterfronts, parks, and nature centers by allowing New York State to take on debt to fund specific projects. The bond requires a minimum of 35% of the total funding must be spent in disadvantaged and priority communities, providing a $4.2 billion in funding,
nice,
including climate change mitigation, restoration and flood risk reduction, open space, land conservation and recreation, water quality improvement and resilient infrastructure, and additional climate solutions not yet determined. If you are interested in supporting the Clean Water, Clean Air, Clean Jobs Environmental Bond Act of 2022, please ask your municipality and your local politicians to consider passing a resolution in support. You can view a sample of the resolution on our website, ecoradio.org, or on Clean Water, Clear, or you can also find it on clearwater.org. As usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up, but we give big thanks to our listeners for joining us. For more information, go to our website, www.ecoradio.org.
Next week, we start early at 2 p.m. to talk with author Danielle Whitaker about her book, The Secret Perfume of Birds. As longtime listeners know, I'm an avid birder, so I'm looking forward to this special interview. My whole life, I've read that birds don't have a sense of smell, except for only one species of vulture and kiwis in New Zealand. New research by Danielle and others shows that this just isn't true. Danielle's book has lots of new information about birds' olfactory sense and the chemistry behind it. So join us to hear directly from her.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics. To listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, for more details and advance notice of upcoming shows, those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Mainstream media continues to promote fossil fuels over renewable energy. We're different. WBAI doesn't accept ads or donations from dirty energy companies, which is part of the reason that you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Ecologic and WBAI to exist.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs. Like everyone, the station has rent to pay. As an employer, we have a shoestring payroll and a call center. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Most of our premiums can be found both on their own webpage, ecologic.wbai.org, and on give2wbai.org. To choose from our wide variety of premiums on topics from solar energy to indigenous rights, go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and donate in the name of your favorite program, Ecologic. To become a member or contribute monthly as a BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We love to see those BAI buddies. We thank Talbot Katz for being our Ecologic BAI buddy.
We work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. And pledging now, during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
Our thanks to our excellent engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us early next Friday, September 30th, 30 minutes earlier than usual, at 2 to 3 p.m. for The Secret Perfume of Birds, and Danielle will have her book available for you that you will definitely want to pick up.
Solar power, inexpensive energy. Spirit of living things.
From WPFW in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Friday, September 23rd. Here are some headlines. Fiona, now a Category 3 hurricane, pounded Bermuda with heavy rains and winds early today as it swept by the island on a route forecast to have it approaching northeastern Canada later in the day, where it threatens to become one of the most severe storms in Canadian history. The Bermuda Electric Light Company, the island's sole power provider, said about 29,000 customers, or more than 80% of its customer base, had no electricity this morning. In Puerto Rico, close to 1 million homes and businesses were still without power this morning after Fiona caused an island-wide power outage earlier in the week for its roughly 3.3 million people. Meanwhile, Florida is also facing a hurricane threat after a separate tropical cyclone formed in the Caribbean Sea. Tropical Depression 9 is in its early stages and is moving on a path that could bring it to Florida next week as Hurricane Hermine, according to the National Hurricane Center. The special master appointed to review documents federal agents seized at Donald Trump's Florida estate gave the former president until Friday of next week to back up his allegation that the FBI planted evidence in the search. In a filing Thursday, senior federal judge Raymond Deary ordered the government to turn over copies of all non-classified items seized in the case to Trump's lawyers by Monday. Trump's team then has 4 days to submit a declaration or affidavit of any items in the inventory that they assert were not seized from the premises, meaning items that were put there by someone else. Trump himself, some of his attorneys, and several of his Republican allies have publicly claimed that the FBI planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago during the search on August 8th. They have yet to offer any evidence to support the accusations. A judge in Indiana on Thursday temporarily blocked a near-total abortion ban in the state that had been in effect for a week. Owen County Judge Kelsey Hanlon put the new law on hold as abortion clinic operators argue in a lawsuit the abortion ban violates both the Indiana Constitution's right to privacy and equal privileges protections. In her ruling, Judge Hanlon wrote, quote, "There is a reasonable likelihood that decisions about family planning, including decisions about whether to carry a pregnancy to term, will be given constitutional protections," close quote. Indiana state officials are likely to appeal the ruling, and they can request that the preliminary injunction on the law be stopped while the appeal plays out. If that happens, it is possible that the law will become active again while the legal challenge continues. The Indiana legislature passed the law earlier this month, making it the first state to pass a new ban on abortions since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. And voting began today in 4 Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine in a referendum over whether to formally join Russia. The regions deciding whether to leave Ukraine include the 2 breakaway republics in the Donbass, Luhansk and Donetsk, as well as the southern provinces of Kherson and Zaporizhia. Ukrainian and Western leaders have denounced the votes as a sham and said they would not recognize the territories as Russia. Close Putin ally and former president Dmitry Medvedev said yesterday that even nuclear weapons could be used to defend the territories if they are annexed by Russia. Quote, "Russia has announced that not only mobilization capabilities, but also any Russian weapons, including strategic nuclear weapons and weapons based on new principles, could be used for such protection," close quote. And in weather today, in New York City, it is 62 degrees and sunny. In Washington, D.C., 65 degrees and sunny. From WPFW in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin.
Now,